call the May 18th meeting of the Sussex County Council to order. First item is the approval of the agenda. Mr. Baker, have you any changes?
Yes, I would suggest that we strike the executive session items.
Does council have any other changes? Not, I'll entertain a motion to approve as amended. Second, please.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. In your packet were the May 11th minutes of our county council meeting. Are there any additions or changes? If not, I'll consider them approved. Mr. Moore?
Yes, there are several pieces of correspondence, Mr. President. The first is from the Delaware Community Foundation to David Baker, dated April 16th. Dear Mr. Baker, this is to acknowledge and thank you for Sussex County Council's recent $750 contribution to the Laurel Alumni Scholarship Foundation, Inc. fund at the Delaware Community Foundation. At the DCF, we recognize that community dreams can be fulfilled through the power of giving, and with that recognition comes a deep sense of responsibility and a sincere belief that each of us can really make a difference. Thank you once again for your thoughtfulness, Fred C. Sears, the second president and CEO. The next letter is from the USDA, dated May 3rd, to Mr. Baker. Dear David, my sincere thanks for working with us to feature the Inland Bays Wastewater Treatment Facility as our 2010 Earth Day event. In addition, we appreciate the work of your staff, especially Chip Guy, Justin Mitchell, Mike Izzo, and Jewel Gibbons for helping us prepare for USDA's announcement of $10.4 million as a result of the Recovery Act. USDA Deputy Secretary Kathleen Merrigan, who participated in an event, was extremely pleased with the turnout and the responsiveness from the media. Thank you for providing exceptional hospitality, and we look forward to working with you in the county years to come. The next letter has a large attachment from the Delaware State Housing Authority to Brandy Bennett, reference neighborhood stabilization NSP monitoring site visit. Dear Ms. Bennett, we would like to express our appreciation for the cooperation and assistance provided by Bill Cates, Brad Whale, and yourself during the monitoring visit, which was conducted on March 26, 2010, by Joan Smith, Lisa Siemens, and myself. As of March 31st, 2010, you have obligated 71.2% of the total NSP awarded funds and 52.6% of the 25% set aside requirement. You are currently on track to meet the NSP requirement to obligate all funds by September 20th, 2010. Since there are no concerns or findings as a result of these monitoring visits, a response to this report is not necessary. Enclosed, please find your copy of the Sussex County Monitoring Site Visit Report, and is signed by Victoria L. Powers, Management Analysis 3. And that is all the correspondence, Mr. President.
Does council have any other correspondence they'd like to share? Now we'll turn the meeting over to County Administrator Dave Baker.
Good morning. The first item of business we have is Oak Orchard Riverdale American Legion, post number 28 auxiliary. We have representatives here today, and I'd like to invite them up to the podium and explain their program.
Good morning. Thank you for allowing me the honor of speaking to County Council. My name is Cindy Phillips. I'm secretary of the Oak Orchard Riverdale American Legion Auxiliary. I'm also the Poppy Chair. And this is my husband, Richard. He's a Legionnaire. He's also my driver. Oh, and my cameraman. He's my cameraman, too. We come here every year to present poppies, and I strive to try and tell you something different every year. This is our 90th anniversary for the American Legion Auxiliary. And from the very first national convention, this little flower has been adopted as the memorial, the official memorial symbol of remembrance. From the, it has come to mean a lot from World War I and Lieutenant Colonel John McCrae, who rode in Flanders Fields, through all the people who have promoted it over the years, to our current day struggle of trying to preserve Memorial Day as a day to honor our veterans and not as the unofficial start to summer. This year we tried to really focus on education, and we went to the schools and Boys and Girls Club and talked to all the kids, taught them about the poppies, and they all participated in the poppy poster contest, which I have one to present to you guys. This is from Lighthouse Christian School in Dagsboro. One of the students did that. It is my prayer that we teach enough children about the poppy and about honoring our veterans so that one day Memorial Day will once again be Decoration Day and that time will be spent in cemeteries honoring our war dead. And I'd like to present you with a poppy, and I'd like you to wear it and join the people who remember. Thank you very much.
And how did the poppy come to be known?
The poppy, well, it's a little bit of a story. The poppy came to be, the poppy is the only flower that when it drops its seed will lay dormant in the ground. Mm-hmm. It could be 30 years later, and if you turn over the ground, it will bloom again. In World War I, when they started to bury their war dead in cemeteries in Europe, there are three American cemeteries over there, and the poppies bloomed. Lieutenant Colonel McCrae was attending a service, and he was so moved by those poppies, he wrote in Flanders Fields. But it became our symbol, and it became a way to raise funds for hospitalized vets through the fact that when they came home, there would be poppies decorating the booths for welcome homes. And at the very first one in Michigan, patriotic citizens would take the poppies to give their soldiers returning home, and they left money. At the very first welcome home where this occurred, they raised $5,000, and someone got the idea, her name was Mary Hennessy, to use those funds for hospitalized vets. So ever since then, that is what the poppy program has become. It is never sold. There is no price ever put on freedom. It's purely a donation, but all the funds that are raised from poppies can only go to veterans and their families. You can't use it for programs. You can't use it for any other cost. It all strictly goes to help a veteran or his family.
Well, thank you.
Thank you very much.
And I'll be glad to wear it with pride.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I don't wonder now. Good to go. Of course, you got the money.
Yes, so we have a small token for appreciation for this great day.
And, thank you.
It is a, oh, thank you. Thank
you. I'm going to put it right on you there.
And here's $100 to help with the poppy program.
Thank
and it's
so
a great
much.
Symbol. And you're right about the history of these events. And you know, the kids are losing sight of it a lot. And it's good to get into the schools and keep you reminding them because we don't want to forget. So thank you. Did you get
a picture? Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next item is a proclamation for Emergency Medical Services Week, and I'll ask Mr. Robert Stewart, the Acting Director of Paramedic Service, to come up, and I'll read the proclamation. This is proclaiming the week of May 16th through May 22nd as Emergency Medical Services Week, whereas Emergency Medical Services is a vital public service, and whereas the members of Emergency Medical Services team are ready to provide life-saving care to those in need 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and whereas access to quality emergency care dramatically improves the survival and recovery rate of those who experience sudden illness or injury, whereas the emergency medical services system consists of emergency physicians, emergency nurses, medical technicians, paramedics, firefighters, educators, administrators, and others, and whereas the members of emergency medical services teams, whether career or volunteer, engage in thousands of hours of specialized training and continuing education to enhance their life-saving skills, and whereas it is appropriate to recognize the value and accomplishments of emergency medical services providers by designating Emergency Medical Services Week with the theme EMS Anytime, Anywhere, Will Be There. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Sussex County Council does hereby proclaim the week of May 16th through the 22nd as Emergency Medical Services Week, and be it further resolved that the Sussex County Council, in recognition of this event, encourages the community to observe this week with appropriate programs, ceremonies, and activities. And,
Okay. Today, we stand before you as part of the National EMS Week celebration. And each year in May, there's an EMS Week celebrated throughout the country where we recognize the efforts of everyone in emergency medical services, from the dispatchers who take the calls all the way to the hospitals that receive our patients. Our goals for EMS Week, including recognizing the efforts of our partners in the EMS community and our paramedics who provide emergency medical services each day. These valuable members of the EMS system include 911 dispatchers, police, firefighters, EMTs, paramedics, and the hospital emergency department staff, including nurses and EMS physicians. They comprise the team that makes up the emergency medical services system in Sussex County that responds to approximately 35,000 calls each year. This year's EMS Week theme is EMS Anytime, Anywhere, We'll Be There. It speaks to the commitment of these individuals in providing life-saving care each day to the citizens and visitors of Sussex County. We'd like to thank the council for their continued support of EMS programs, not just this week, but throughout the year. We have a group assembled here today of EMS people that kind of are going to be recognized in a moment for their outstanding service to the EMS community, and they were nominated by their peers for their awards, and they're recognized for doing just a little bit extra, but everybody that works in the EMS system does a great job every day on every call. But these people stand out and are going to be recognized by their peers, and I'll introduce them in a minute. I'd like to thank the council for the proclamation. And I'd like to receive it on behalf of the entire group.
Everybody kind of turn around. Okay, we can do that, Jim. We can squeeze.
Thank you. We'll give nothing.
We can squeeze right up, everybody. Get Joey something.
You guys stand some, stand in the back. If you've got to call, we're going back.
Rob, you have to see you.
That's all right.
Move over just a little bit.
Mike needs to stand up front. He can't see him. Okay. Thank you.
Congratulations. Thank you very much appreciate for what you do. We appreciate that.
Everybody.
As I mentioned previously, these individuals were nominated by their peers for the awards they're about to be recognized for today. And I believe the council has tributes for each of these individuals. The Sussex County Volunteer Ambulance Association, the Sussex County Paramedic Association, and Sussex County EMS have a banquet each year in May that kicks off EMS Week. And at that banquet, we recognized these individuals last week. The Sussex County Volunteer Ambulance Association presented some awards. Paramedic of the Year, John Schmidt, who could not be here today. Sussex County Volunteer Ambulance Association EMT of the Year, Denise Dill from Station 73, Dagsburg.
Well, I got some right here. Congratulations. Thank you very much for what you do. We really appreciate that. Thank you. Good day, Rachel. Do you want to do individuals? Do we have time for that?
Yes.
It's up to the council.
Sure, we got
yes,
time.
We do.
Okay.
Go ahead. Turn around.
Put her on store or give me
Can you get down? Can you bow a little bit, Mike, or so you can get both pictures? The same picture. Both feeds, I should say.
Thank you.
Sussex County Volunteer Ambulance Association, Cliff Lee, EMS Memorial Award, Mr. Dave Ruff.
Mr. Dave Ruff, congratulations, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Step right up here, buddy.
Just stuck mine in my pocket.
Maybe that's what I should do. Thank you, solved the problem.
Congratulations, Dave.
Oh, dear.
Georgetown EMS gave a special award this year to a paramedic, Kirk Miller. It's called the Angel Award. It's for his special contributions to Georgetown EMS Service. Mr. Kirk Miller, and you'll stay up for the next award today.
All right. We all kind of awards. Isn't that nice, huh? Congratulations.
Turn around. And just to mention, Kirk's one of the original medics hired by the system 20 years ago. He's still kicking.
Can't tell it. Must have hard him off of young.
He was 12.
Thank you. Congratulations, Kirk.
Kirk was also recognized by his shift for his shift excellence last year. So he gets the Shift Excellence Award. Mr. Miller? There we go.
I'm pretty close here. Not bad. There you go.
Years ago, Kirk was my partner. He taught me everything I know about EMS. If you don't believe me, just ask him. We also have Shift Excellence who could not be here today. It was, for A Shift, it was Ray Falkrod. For B Shift, it was Chase Shine. For D Shift, Jeremy Goldman.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll take care of
it. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Picture taking this, eh?
The Suss County Supervisor of the Year, Glenda Pusey, could not be here today. And the Field Training Officer of the Year, John Haney, could not be here today. The Nurse of the Year was from BB Medical Center, Dimitar Sijan, I think is it correct? The EMS Physician of the Year was Dr. Phil Bailey from BB Medical Center. He could also not be here today. But the Emergency Communications Specialist of the Year, Mr. Joey Pepper from the Sussex Emergency Operations Center.
Mr. Pepper, congratulations.
Thank you.
Can we reinvestigate that one?
He just became a doctor. His name was Dr. Pepper. That would have been funny. Pediatrician. Cute.
That's a great joke.
Thank you.
Thanks, Joey. For my dancing ability.
Dancing with the Stars.
We have recognized three emergency medical technicians of the year that work for the volunteer fire service and the MS ambulance services. The EMT year from the West District, Ms. Stacey Shear from Station 87 in Seaford.
Hear that, Seaford.
She said Mike Vincent taught her everything she knows.
Far from it.
Let's forget about it.
Congratulations,
EMT year from the Central District, Mr. Tommy Berry, Station 83, Millsboro.
Congratulations.
EMT year from the East District, Mr. Jacques Grant, Station 91, Mid-Sussex Ambulance Service.
Congratulations, young man.
Thank you.
Congratulations, John.
George, did you read the budget letter?
Thank you.
Did you read the budget letter?
Like Eric.
And the Sussex County Paramedic of the Year, like nominated by Sussex County EMS by his peers, Mr. Andrew Vickers.
I haven't read it. No. They don't read. I watch.
Must be down south somewhere. That name, Vickers.
Check out. Did you read it?
The difference is I won't criticize.
I know. It's almost 100%.
If I don't read, I don't criticize.
And last but not least, Ms. Shelley Simmons was recognized by her peers for her administrative excellence in supporting the EMS system in Sussex County. Ms. Shelley Simmons.
I didn't either.
thank you all very, very much for what you do. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Mr. Vincent. I'd like to thank the council and end by saying that all of these individuals are part of a system that delivers the best pre-hospital care of any service anywhere. And they deserve a pat on the back, and everybody deserves to be recognized, but there is always a few people that stand a little bit above and beyond the others in a given year, and these people are certainly worthy of the awards that they've received this year. We thank you immensely for your support. Hopefully we'll see you next year. Thank you again.
Thank you.
Good job.
PRE3.
Yeah, they come
made
in
them free.
We already did. But we're going to approve it officially.
The next item we have is the county administrator's report, and the first item is the Delaware Department of Transportation workshop on the U.S. 113 north-south study. As per the attached notice, DelDOT will be holding workshops regarding the U.S. 113 north-south study on May 24th and 25th. The 24th workshop will be held at the Millsboro Fire Company in Millsboro from 4 to 7 p.m. And the 25th, the second workshop, will be held at the Philip C. Shaw Elementary School in Selbyville from 4 to 7. Delaware State Police report attached is a copy of the State Police report for March. As noted, 3,832 complaints were handled in Sussex, 3,821 traffic charges were made, 331 felony criminal arrests, and 817 misdemeanor criminal arrests occurred during March. Clean Hands Collection Report, per the Sussex County Council Assessment Division, approximately $826,799 has been collected in delinquent property taxes and sewer and water billings as a result of the Clean Hands Ordinance, which went into effect October 16, 2007. Sussex County Coastal Charms. Attached is a copy of an article that appeared this weekend in the Wall Street Journal about Sussex County. As noted in the article, more and more people are attracted to Sussex County, its coast, its people, its lifestyle, and its lifestyle. The advantages of Sussex County are highlighted in this article. And then the next item is...
Mr. Baker, could I ask one question about your report? On the Clean Hands Collection report, the 826,000 total since 2007, how is that going month by month now? Is it dropping way off? Is it a steady?
It has dropped a little bit, but it is something that as the building permits come in, as people come in to apply for a building permit, our people at the counter check to be sure that the taxes and sewer and water charges are up to date, and then that's how we catch most people. So it has, but it has tailed off a little bit. I don't have the month-to-month data in front of me, and that would be up. We will investigate that and have more information for you.
All right, thank you.
Mm-hmm. I have a question about
Ms. Steven?
Mm-hmm.
Real estate property tax collections. How are we doing on our overall, on our collections, on our past due accounts?
Our new collections manager, Ms. Katrina Mears, is working very closely with Amanda Bennett in our Treasury Division, and she has, I was upstairs working on the budget, and she was making calls. I could hear, mm-hmm. hear her discussing with taxpayers, you know, trying to set up payment plans, if that could work and whatnot. We are pursuing tax sales as a last resort, and we have, I know some that have been, some that have occurred, but we also have some in the mill. And maybe Mrs. Webb can give you a little bit more background on that.
We have a variety of programs that Mrs. Mears have been working on, and if you'd like, we can give you a detailed report later. But a couple of things that she's focused on is the tax sale of the vacant lots. That's, looking at that group together and getting letters out and warning them of what's going to happen. Working very closely with one of our attorneys. And then we're also starting to work with the trailer park owners. We have a delinquency on trailer parks, and that presents its own problems, but I want to get into that today. Mm-hmm. And looking at that piece of delinquency, so Mrs. Mears has been able to chunk out different sections and tackle them that way. Also, she's developed a phased-in approach where we want the main piece of this is to catch someone once they're a year old and not let it get to 13 and 14. But we have to start somewhere, so she's come up with a plan that once taxpayer is 1 year delinquent, they get a letter, and we phase in four different series of delinquency letters before, you know.
Does this ever affect a person's credit report, credit standing?
I don't know that we're doing anything right now with credit. That could be something we could look into. I'm not really sure. I don't know that that's a goal that we've ever had is to, on a credit side, you know.
I come from the business world, so that's...
Right. Now, I understand that. You know, some of them, well, like the trailer park delinquencies, you don't have a lot of choices. And kicking some of them when they're down, it's just, you know... But little programs like that is little projects is what we're putting together.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mr. Baker.
Mm-hmm. The next item is discussion and introduction of proposed ordinances regarding the annual operating budget. And what we would like to do today is review the proposed budget with the county council and the public. And and we have today with us our budget committee, which will present this budget. And I'd like to introduce our budget committee, of course, Susan Webb, our director of finance, Kathy...
Roth.
Roth. Kathy Roth.
Kathy, you know who.
Yeah,
we,
yeah.
Know, we know who you are.
Kathy Roth, our budget director and cost manager.
I think that means Dave got sick of looking at us.
Gina Jennings, our director of accounting, and myself. We've been working the last few months pretty hard on trying to put together a budget, and occasionally, at least I have a little remembering problems. But,
but physical this afternoon.
Yeah. Given the continued difficult economy, this again has been a challenging budget to prepare. Our goal this year has been to maintain, again, to maintain, supplement, enhance county services in the midst of a major economic downturn. And some of the highlights of this proposed budget, which lives within our means, include the following. It is a balanced budget with zero use of appropriated reserves. There are 22 less full-time employees due to attrition, early retirement offers. Economic development is a major emphasis to take full advantage of available programs to provide more jobs in Sussex County. The general fund budget is up 1.3%. after a 16% decline during this current year. We are recommending that we unify sewer district accounting funds to provide administrative cost savings. We are recommending implementing a plan to provide a more simplified uniform service charge rate structure. We are recommending revising and improving building security to begin implementation of finance software changes. The budget includes needed sewer operations upgrades, revising and upgrading the personnel code, recommending land use plan ordinances. A disaster coordination software package is included to improve agency communications during emergency events, and no property tax increase is recommended. The County Council and our county government have made many changes over the past year and a half to adapt to the new economic reality. These changes represent efforts which have happened over time. They have not happened overnight. This proposed budget is a result of these initiatives by our county council and our county employees to reduce spending where feasible, provide services with less staff, retrain employees to assist with others' duties as needed, use less supplies, work less overtime, not attend seminars, take voluntary unpaid days off, and defer purchases wherever practical. These efforts are what has made this budget a reality. And with that, we will go ahead and start our presentation.
This is a picture that Chip Guy took hanging out of the
second floor. It's very nice.
Just for here for me.
Yeah, I wonder where that came from.
We checked on his insurance.
He hung out the window to get that.
The first slide here is the total budget, and as you can see, the general fund is up 1.3%, $614,000. That is mainly attributable to an increase in our pension payments to pensioners. That our pension payments, which are offset by revenue received from our pension trust funds, were up $875,000. So with that increase, we would actually have a decrease in the general fund in terms of operations cost. But anyway, this is the it's a $46.8 million budget. It is 15% below the fiscal 2009 level. Capital Improvement Fund for non-sewer and water capital improvements is up 3%. We will talk about that, what's included there. Community Development Fund for housing rehabilitation projects is up 2.2%. It is mainly, the increases here are due to additional federal money, which was a response to the economy. Water and Sewer District Operations, $31.3 million, is up 4.7%, but our number of users is up 2.3%. over the year. So plus we have some major repair and replacement items included in the budget. Water and sewer capital projects is up 23%, $50 million for water and sewer capital projects, most of which you're aware of that have been approved, that are in the construction mode, that are funded with stimulus money, which will help provide jobs in Sussex County. In total, it's up 9%, but obviously this is the big ticket item, which is water and sewer capital projects. Economic development will be a major emphasis in this budget as it is today in Sussex County. We are emphasizing the availability of American Recovery Zone and industrial revenue bonds to help businesses expand with lower interest, lower tax-exempt interest costs, and we have these available. Stimulus funding, again, construction jobs. We have the $50 million of wastewater projects under construction. These, actually, all of these are under construction now. We will apply for additional stimulus money for additional projects. The USDA has some additional stimulus money, which we will try to rush, continue the process to rush some projects through, take advantage of this, and help provide jobs in the county. Our Emergency Operations Center, we have a solar panel project funded by the Department of Energy grant that is coming. Community development, again, of course, is up for due to additional federal funds. Industrial Park capital projects, we have about almost $3.5 million in recommended projects in the industrial air park. State mortgage funds, we are trying to publicize low interest mortgages, 4.75% for 30 years that are underutilized in Sussex County, and we want to try to make people aware of that program that's available. Hazardous mitigation grants, local jobs. For contractors to help improve eligible flood damaged properties. And, of course, our Economic Development Office will continually work to obtain and expand business in Sussex County. This chart shows the projected net income or the actual net income from 2005 through 2009. And as you can see, 2007, 8, 9, we did experience in the general fund's losses for the year. As per our audits, we are projecting as of March 31st a slight net income of $117,000 for this current fiscal year. The general fund budget, as we mentioned, is up 1.3%. This is a baseline general fund budget with a goal to provide current services recognizing the economic realities of today. We are continuing with reduced staffing levels as well as reduced expenditures for supplies, outside services, machinery, and equipment. This $46.8 $1 million proposal is $5 million less than 2005 and is $11 million less than 2008. And with that, I'll turn it over to Gene.
Okay, this is a pie chart of our general fund revenues. General fund operating revenues are up 1%. Our projections assume revenues will be consistent to fiscal year 2010. I'm just going to go through the pie chart and talk about the major revenue sources for the county. You can see realty transfer tax and property tax make up about 50% of our revenues. This is the second year in a row that property tax is slightly higher than realty transfer tax. Property tax has seen a 1.45% increase this year. That is not due to any increase in rates, it's just increased in assessments. Realty transfer tax is 25% or $12.7 million. That is consistent with 2010 budget. Our next revenues is 19.1% is our fees. That's our building permits and inspection fees and our constitutional offices. Our next revenue down here is our pension fund revenue. Mr. Baker talked about that a little bit. We reimburse our pension costs with our pension fund, that money that we've been setting aside for the past few years. The next is our state paramedic grant at 7%. This is a reduced state share of 30%. This reduction is an additional $1.2 million cost to the county. This is consistent to last year. And lastly, I want to talk about the federal grants at 6.7%. This is the Neighborhood Stabilization Program and the CDBG program, and that's about $3 million coming from stimulus money. Some highlights of the non-major ones, just to talk about the 0.8% interest income. That's only $350,000 this year compared to $3 million that we collected in 2008. All right, our next graph talks about the realty transfer tax over the last 15 years. You can see 2010 and 2011 are consistent. We did a budget versus actual in 2010, and we are running right in line with what we have budgeted. So we feel comfortable conservatively budgeting 12.7 again this year. And as you can see with the graph, it seems to be leveling off right at a 2002 level. The next graph is very similar to the previous graph. You can see where it's leveling off in 2010 and 2011. These are all of our housing industry revenues that are listed there on the slide. This includes realty transfer tax. Doing a budget versus actual in 2010, we can budget an extra $77,000. So as you can see, it's very consistent to this year's budget. The next graph is the use of appropriated reserves. This will be the second year in a row that we do not budget anything from prior year. This means that the county is able to operate within the boundaries of its revenues, and we're very happy with that. The next pie chart shows where the money goes. I just talked about where the money's come from. And just going again around the pie chart, talking about the major revenues. Again, paramedic department, 24%, that is our largest expense. Then we have the finance and data processing departments at 14%. This also includes the accounting, treasury, IT, assessment, constable, and the building code department. Then we have grants at 13%. This is up from last year. We had $6.9 million in the budget last year, and it's up to $7.1 million this year. The budget committee is recommending to restore some of the grants at 50% of last year's cuts. These grants include the fire companies, ambulance services, the local law enforcement, and the conservation district for drainage projects. The next part of the pie chart here is personnel at 10%, and that's our pension distribution. Next one is our libraries over here. That's $4.2 million. That is our independent and local libraries combined in there. Next, I'm going to turn over to Mr. Baker to talk about personnel highlights.
You want to hold questions until you're done?
We can do that if you like. Yeah.
Sure. Okay.
Mm-hmm. How would you like it?
It doesn't matter to us. Personnel highlights, we are not recommending any salary reductions, no layoffs, no reductions in paid working hours. We are not recommending that employees contribute to the defined benefit pension plan that we have. Basically, there's no change. Our benefit, our pension contributions are included in the budget at 17.53%, covering the pensions and the pensioner benefits. The county budget includes that amount. That is actually down from 23% based on analysis by our actuary. Our health insurance, we are not recommending changes for the employee portion of health insurance contributions. That stays the same. However, the cost to the county is up considerably due to an increase in claims, and also we have less employees taking advantage of the silver plan versus the gold plan than we originally anticipated. Again, we have 15 paid holidays. We have two extra this year for Election Day and Return Day. Cost of living increase, there is none included in the proposed budget. However, there are some merit raises based on the department head's recommendations, and they are included unlike the current 2010 budget. Overall, the benefits, when you add all these benefits up, it amounts to 62.2 cents per $1 of salary cost. So benefits are a big ticket item, as they are everywhere. And we think that considering what other governments and other businesses have faced, we think this is a good benefit package, and we think we've done pretty well in weathering this storm at this point. This chart shows general fund expenditures by department, and as you can see, most departments have reduced budgets, and this is 2010 to 2011, the change. This is from 2009 to 2010. So as you can see, many departments have had 2 years of reductions in their budget for a variety of reasons, and some of this is related to the change in the nature of the work. Due to the change in the amount of work from the housing industry, we have less need in the assessment division, for instance, and building inspection division, and engineering, public works. There's been what we've tried to do is recognize that, make changes in the staffing levels, and transfer people to other departments as needed. The sheriff's office is up a little bit. Their activity is up, and so there's a reason for it. This chart shows the number of full-time employees, the changes, and this budget reflects a reduction of 22 full-time employees. Last year's budget, or the 2010 budget, has 26 less employees. So that's 48 less full-time employees included in the proposed budget for 2011 versus what was in the 2009 budget. This is a 9% reduction in full-time employees. We offered two early retirement options during the past year. That resulted in 15 less employees. And, of course, we've had attrition. Some employees leave as normal, and we've tried to fill from within as much as possible. I'll turn it over to Mrs. Roth.
I'm going to cover the highlights of the public safety budget. Again, it's $20 million for the public safety. That's 43% of the general fund. The paramedics make up $11.8 million, which is down from last year. They were at 12.2. It's a 3.75% decrease. They're still operating their 12 facilities. They actually opened a Laurel station this year. They have over 100 staff members. In this budget, we do have funding for two paramedic students, but they won't start till the spring. Also, we're looking to start a new paramedic scholarship for a program. The fire service ambulance service is at $1.5 and $1.4 million. Again, this grant is up $92,000 from the prior year. And we restored half the cuts we made in the 2010 budget. State police subsidy, again, is at the same level as 2010 at $1.5 million. And this is for 40 officers over and above the state allotted amount here in Sussex County. The revenue sharing, law enforcement is at $420,000. This is $20,000 for each 21 departments here in the county. The emergency preparedness is $2.6 million. This is up 10% from last year, mainly due to capital cost and repair and maintenance cost.
Mrs. Roth, how much went to the fire service companies? You said a $92,000 increase. What's the overall number that goes to them?
$1.5
million. $5 million.
Okay, the $1.5 million. All right, thank you.
Uh-huh. These are just the calls that came into our 911 center and the paramedic calls. They're starting to level out a little bit for this year. The grant and aid program, this shows how the realty transfer tax corresponds with the grant and aid. As you can see in 2002, realty transfer tax was at 12.6%, and the grants were at $9 million. Realty transfer tax peaked in 2005 at $36.3 million, and the grants peaked in 2007 at $26 million. The current level, again, is at 12.7% for realty transfer tax and $7 million. For the grant and aid. Assistance programs, we just want to make sure that our residents are aware of these assistance programs. They're for water and sewer and tax relief. The information is available on our webpage. We know people's situations may have changed in the last year, so we just want to make sure people are aware that these programs are out there, or they can contact the departments that are listed. Our library, we have 3 county-owned library and 11 independent libraries, and this is $4.8 million. Again, the independent libraries the last 2 years have seen a 1% increase each year. The cuts have been made with our own local libraries and the administration. County, our library administration is actually down 31% this year. So we also offer services to our local libraries like audited financial statements, delivery materials, training and education, and cataloging as well, that you won't see in the actual numbers. This is a graph showing library circulation, and again, you'll see it's up in 2009, which is normal as the economy turns down. People use our libraries more, our computer service as well as our books and our DVDs. This is our local library funding. As you can see, in 2004, we were at $1.5 million for our local libraries, and now we're currently at almost $1.9 million. So their funding stream, again, has increased over the years. Now I'm going to turn it back to Mrs. Jennings for our community development.
A little bit about our community development program. This year, they plan on doing 57 rehabilitations. The locations are the top right of the slide. And you can see some before and after pictures there on the slide. These are the before, and here's the after. In the last fiscal year, that's what two of them that they have done. They're going to do 30 sewer hookups and 4 demolitions. To the right in the red box is where the funding comes from. This is consistent to fiscal year 2010. The Budget Committee, again, is requesting the Sussex County fund the emergency grant assistance at $30,000, which is the same as last year. This is the same program down here, the Neighborhood Stabilization Program, that was funded last year at $1.9 million. It's in the budget for $2 million. They've got a second round of funding. As of May 1st, there were 11 homebuyers that purchased their home through this program. And the county is proud that not only are these foreclosed homes have been purchased, but there are people living in these homes. And the top left-hand corner is a picture of the first NSP Habitat home and the family that moved in, along with this community development department and the Habitat organization. This table here is the non-water and sewer capital projects. We have airport and industrial park projects. These include stormwater improvements, wetland mitigation, and the runway 422 extension. We have property acquisition at $1.2 million. An emergency communications building at $1.3 million. 50% is to be funded by the state of Delaware, and this is to house our command unit and communications equipment. We have building improvements and expansion. This includes the expansion of the Greenwood Library and the Milton Library improvements. And we have the EOC solar panel project, and we have 2 generators, one for the county admin building and another for the emergency preparedness department. And we also have a finance system for $250,000, and this is pending the results of the needs assessment report for a total of $8 million. I'd like to turn it back over to Mr. Baker to start talking about the wastewater program.
Thank you. This chart, this slide shows some of their pump stations and facilities that we have. We have 418 pump stations overseen by the county, 4 wastewater treatment plants, 778 miles of sewer pipe in the county now. The wastewater program totals $31.3 million. This includes our front foot assessment charges, which are used to pay the debt service on our loans for these projects. So when we go out and borrow money for an individual project, we charge a front foot assessment for that project, and that money is included in this budget also, as well as operating and maintenance costs. As Mrs. Webb will shortly explain, we're recommending that we work towards a uniform service charge rate for our sewer projects, and in this year we would implement a uniform accounting fund for our sewer projects, which will mean some administrative cost savings, and that we will anticipate those savings starting this fiscal year. We are recommending the front foot assessment rates to remain at the current fiscal 2010 levels. Our major repair and replacement costs are up considerably, about $765,000. That is reflected in this budget. Our system connection charges, which are one-time impact-type fees for new connections, are up 1.74%, representing an inflationary increase from the construction cost index from Engineering News Record. Our general fund grants and loans to our sewer projects are only at $270,000 in 2011, which is the same amount as 2010. That is for Ellendale, Dagsburg, Frankfurt, and the Inland Bays project. Our EDUs, again, have grown from 13,088 to over 62,000 in 2011. That averages out to over 16% a year annual growth. Even this year, it is up 2.3% in terms of our number of connections to our sewer projects, about 1,400 additional connections. This chart shows our capital repair and replacement budget, some of the items, pumping equipment. Some of our districts are over 30 years old. There are pump station rebuilds, generator replacements, electrical controls rebuilds, included rebuilding grinder pumps, and some of these are in many of these are in salt air, and they are wearing. There's a lot of wear and tear, and they need replacements. Treatment and disposal equipment is also included, replacing a Scruff South Coastal Regional Wastewater Facility headwork screen for about $100,000. Replacing sludge lagoon mixers at Scruff is included. Irrigation rig equipment replacement is included. As far as some other items, a new sewer inspection camera, which it saves considerable amount of money in terms of identifying problems in our sewer system with this camera that saves digging up pipe to try to determine locations of problems. We also have $110,000 in the budget for a microwave communication link. We have over 400 pump stations, which are monitored by our SCADA system, which saves us a lot of administrative time or a lot of maintenance time. However, we need to monitor all those pumps. We need a more bandwidth, and this system will help do that. With that, I'll turn it over to Mrs. Webb.
Good morning. Mr. Cole, are you with me?
Thanks for...
Reform approach to sewer. We have been moving towards this, taking this approach for the last few years. It's been important for us to unify our sewer districts in terms of service charges only and operation and maintenance. This is not the assessment fees. We've worked with a consultant over the last few years, and we've been working through this. And honestly, it's been a challenge to take 24 districts and make them into one when we've had such a disparity in rates on either end of the spectrum, from 188 to 487. That's tough to do, and to do it in a way that we felt would be as easy as possible.
We've had two objectives through this. One is taking the funds, our sewer funds, accounting funds, from 23 down to 4. And what we're proposing is that outside of the Dewey Water Fund and the Westerhova Sewer Fund, everyone else fits into the sewer operating fund. And this is basically an accounting function, the way the bills are coded, the way they'll run through the system, where we'll see the savings and the administrative costs. And then to consolidate these 23 districts in terms of rates, which were taking a phased in approach. As I said, this was a challenge because of the disparity of the rates. Our goals that we wanted to achieve is, of course, administrative cost savings with a less accounting cost, less paperwork costs on engineering side. We wanted uniformity within the districts for accounting and for service charge. We want to minimize the impact on our customers. This will affect over 40,000 users. We want a planned, a phased plan, 7-year approach, but we will revisit the budget each year to see how close we are and see how easy we can make it the next year. Maybe we can bring them together a little bit longer and it might not take 7 years. And we want to establish a future what we call a 3R fund, which is replacement, repair, and renewal, which everyone will pay into. And these will be for those major type of costs that Mr. Baker was just talking about that has a major impact on our budget. With anything with this size, it's a $31 million sewer budget. We actually have over 60,000 sewer users. There's advantages and disadvantages that we're going to run into. Some of the disadvantages, there will be changes to the service charge, and they may vary during this transition period. Some users may see small rate increases, and of course, it's going to affect over 40,000 sewer users. But we feel the advantages far outweigh these disadvantages. We have the administrative accounting and cost savings. We will no longer have to allocate a shared expense 23 ways. This will become less complex. Basically, it will be simplified. We have an equality and standardization between our customers now that they're receiving the same level of service. And I know many on council have been saying this for a couple of years. The service you receive in Blades for operation and maintenance now, the service you receive in Blades is the same in Fenwick, is the same in Bethany Beach.
Why is West Rehoboth excluded?
It has varied because it was revenue funded. Revenue bond funded has very tricky terms to its funding status. Since it was such a large project, it got funding in many different scenarios, and it's very specific how collections are to be used in West Rehoboth and not in a bigger pot because of the funding it received.
Okay.
But I'm not going to rule that out ever in the future, but for right now, it's off to the side.
Does it require a change in any ordinances or state?
For West Rehoboth?
West Rehoboth, right.
Possibly.
Okay.
This is the standard practice in the industry. West Rehoboth, you know, off to the side for the other districts. It is typically what's done when for sewer operation and maintenance charges. We will see some economies of scale with our budget as we can pool 24 different budgets. We no longer have these individual teeny little budgets, and we have one large budget. Even the operation and maintenance engineering department will be able to budget on a better basis looking at total costs. It will eventually get to rate stabilization, and this has been recommended and endorsed by our consultant that worked on it. And here are the rates. These are the rates that the budget committee is proposing for this project. Some rates will be increasing. But this is due to the increase in the capital costs of the budget, as Mr. Baker talked about, a 75% increase in capital costs that we will see. And most of this is due because we've either put off or delayed some of the major expenses in the sewer budget over the last 2 years when money was tighter and the economy hit us really hard. But there's only so long that you can do that in your sewer operations when you're running heavy machinery and it's a capital-intensive operation. And labor, some of these things just have to get done. And we realize that, and we need to do that. That also ties in with why it's important to fund that repair, replacement, and renewal from all the sewer districts. Our rates here listed vary, the smallest being $8 a year up to $15 a year. That's what we're proposing.
$8 a year is only $2 a quarter, and $15 a year is only $3.75 a quarter, and that's the max. In terms of percentage, it's from 0%. Some districts are not going up to 3.1%. So this is not too bad as far as rates are concerned. We're actually going from 11 individual rates in this year down to 6.
That's good.
So it is a start. It's a good start.
Mm-hmm.
Second page, just listing more rates. And again, a reminder, this is just the service charges. This is not the front foot assessment charges that's based on the front foot that pays us back for the debt. This is just the service charge. Some of the major water and sewer capital projects we've mentioned before, $50 million. Many, the top five or six of these, are funded with the stimulus funds that came through in the last couple of years. We were going to do these projects anyway, but because of the deadlines of the sewer, of the stimulus package, we had to get them in the work sooner, in the pipeline sooner. And this has done many things for us besides helping us fund our projects. It's created jobs in the local economy by putting these projects out there. We have an environmental benefit now of getting these septic systems off septics and into central sewer. And by using the stimulus money, we were able to reduce rates for many of these users through grants and low interest loans. This is the five-year capital projects. This is long-term, over 5 years. This is what we estimate or project we'll do in the next 5 years. This is an evolving schedule. It changes year to year, every budget year when we come in, particularly on the later years, year 14 and 15, projects come and go. The economy has affected this schedule as the economy was low in the last couple of years, not much going on. Some of the projects dropped out by the wayside. The need wasn't there as much because of the growth. Now we're seeing some of these other projects and sewer extensions in some of the other areas have actually picked up in year 20 and 14 and 15. So this is an ever-changing schedule, and this is up this year 23%, and mostly because of the stimulus projects that will be done in 2011. And Mr. Baker will wrap it up with the budget highlights.
This chart highlights some of the major factors with the proposed budget, and as noted, there is no property tax recommended. The average county tax for a single-family home is $105. The average county tax for a manufactured home would be $40. And this does not include the school tax, which we bill, which could add $500 or $600 to that average tax bill, depending on the school district. Again, there's reduced staffing levels. A unified sewer accounting fund will go into effect right away, and then we would implement a plan for a uniform sewer service charge. There is funding for 40 additional state police troopers included in this budget. Volunteer fire service is $3 million. It's up $92,000. Dog control, we didn't mention earlier, but it is in the budget again. There's a 26% decrease in pension costs, but that is offset by an increase in health insurance costs. A very aggressive five-year capital plan. Economic development is a major emphasis with a large capital plan to help with our construction industry. We're going to continue to push American Recovery Zone and industrial revenue bond options for businesses. 1.3% general fund budget increase and no use of appropriated reserves. We hope that this budget reflects the priorities of the County Council and properly serves the needs of Sussex Countyans. Economic development is a high priority given the stress that our residents are now enduring. We will continue to pursue initiatives to spur our economy and help our citizens. We do have some concerns regarding the possible impact of various state budget proposals on the proposed budget. As we've discussed before, reducing state paramedic funding, which was cut this year to 30%. By reducing an additional 10%, that would cost us an additional $1.2 million. Reducing the county share of realty transfer tax would obviously have a major impact on us. Transferring register wills and recorder deeds offices could cost us $2.6 to $4 million a year. This budget is based on the assumption that no changes would be made in these aspects of state funding. We especially would like to thank our county employees for their tremendous efforts during the economic crisis to more efficiently provide services for Sussex Countyans. Their efforts are the reasons that we are able to recommend this budget today. We would like to thank the County Council for its leadership and mission to conservatively manage county government and not negatively impact our residents with undue costs, yet continue to provide, supplement, and improve county services. I'd like to personally thank the Budget Committee for each of their individual efforts to put forth this recommendation. Susan Webb, Kathy Roth, and Gina Jennings are to be commended for their work now and throughout the year and all that they've done. They've made many changes. As you can see, this PowerPoint, I think, is pretty impressive. I'd also like to thank my secretary, Susan Webb, who assisted with the letter, which explains department by department sections of the budget, so that if you have a question about what is in the budget for, say, the assessment department, you can look that information up in the letter. And, of course, I'd like to thank our department heads and employees who have constantly worked to save change and make this budget doable. Their efforts have paid off. The public hearing will be held on June 22nd at the council meeting, and copies of the budget, the PowerPoint, and the budget letter are available at the county's website. Thank you.
Very good job.
Any questions for Mr. Baker?
I have a question. You were showing $3 million going to the volunteer fire services, correct?
Yes.
I was at a meeting last night, a legislative meeting, with the leaders in the various stations, and they're showing that the county contributes $653,000. And I don't know, I don't understand the difference. What are we talking about, capital? What are we talking about?
I'm not sure. I'm not familiar with those numbers. However, I was not at that meeting.
Right.
But the fire service budget is broken down into different categories. There are grants for fire companies that have for fire service companies that provide fire service. There are grants for companies that have aerial trucks. Mm-hmm. There are grants for companies that have ambulances and rescue trucks. So there's individual categories, and
they
might be
it.
Referring to that.
I think it may be they were talking specifically about the trucks. I want to check into it.
How much does the fire enhancement fee represent in this budget?
$780,000,
yeah. That could be it. It's down from a few years past, I believe, just because it's growth-related. It's a quarter percent of each building permit, I believe?
Yes, a quarter percent is charged on a building permit, and whatever we collect, they receive. So if the economy does pick up, then they would receive those additional mm-hmm. Amounts.
And if we didn't have the volunteers, we would be spending millions and millions of dollars.
Yes.
On fire service.
Year three would go to about 50.
Right.
Any other questions for Mr. Baker, Mr. Cole?
I got three areas I'd like to touch on. I think as we've had the conversations about the pension fund in the past, when I look around and see when I read the paper and everything, all these jurisdictions, whether they're towns, large cities, counties, city, or state governments, whatever, it seems the pension funds seem to be a real bugaboo about all these areas. So I would like to emphasize that we ought to, again, consider a new plan for new hires. And we just draw a line in the sand and say, we can't maybe continue on with being as generous as we've been, because we can see there's so much history out there of where some, governments have gotten in trouble because of these generous pension plans to, public employees. So I think we ought to start looking at a new plan for new hires. Leave everybody else who's here, give them what they got. Don't take anything away from anybody. But as we hire new people, we could come up with a different package. And I'm not saying it's going to be a bare bones package. I'm just saying we ought to look at certain areas. There should be some savings. The other thing is on the transfer tax. That's another area that a lot of the local governments, all sizes, have gotten in trouble with. Dependent on these taxes that are economy driven. You know, everybody thinks we're, you know, is getting real optimistic that, you know, we're getting out of this. Well, we might go back the other way. You never know. It's everything's so flighty out there. So I don't like to see too much emphasis on our transfer taxes to be paying for county services. I think we're seeing now finally, or I guess in the last couple of years, where it's almost 50-50 now. One time it was huge transfer tax. And boy, we thought we had, you know, Santa Claus has arrived. So again, we ought to be conscious of, we have that on there somewhere, but at one time the transfer taxes were an issue. So I just caution that we don't want to have budgets that are too dependent on transfer, those types of things, or even the stimulus money. That's again, just a carrot they're dangling out there that can be yanked back at any time. The last thing is, and I've harped on this for a number of years, is the wastewater. And it's good that we're getting to the uniform rates. I like that. I think that's great. I think, and we did it pretty quick. As soon as that last group that I used to sit with left, it seems all of a sudden now we've addressed it. So I applaud you gentlemen, ladies, to that we've encouraged our staff to move that direction, because there's been a lot of unfairness out there. So we're bringing some uniformity to the service charges. I think I'd like to also look at maybe that the front footage charges that are really inequitable. And maybe there's a way we can take some small steps, like if we bring uniform rates to maybe subdivisions or uniform rates to, you know, a certain geographical area. I know we can't because, again, the differences in cost and everything else, but you've got people living in next door to one another that may have be at the end of a cul-de-sac with, you know, sitting on the waterfront and have a $2 million house, and the one next to them could be on a lot of frontage, and there's just no equity in what they're paying in front footage charges. It's crazy. You don't have to go all the way across my property to service me. You only have to come halfway. You got to go the next portion to get to the next guy, and the next portion to get to the next guy. So we all have to work together. So, again, I'd like to see, like, go towards that unit pricing, uniformity. And if we can't do it in big districts, which I probably understand, but maybe we could say within somebody's own subdivision, the neighbors are all paying the same, because it's the sewer service and be able to flush that toilet that makes it all work. So I'd like to see, you know, looking to some get creative there, and maybe in a couple of years or in the course of 7 years like they're proposing here, we could, again, maybe not just have one or something, but we could maybe bring it down, and people wouldn't be screaming, because every year we hear about people talking about the front footage charges. So those three areas, and I think it's, again, it's a good budget, but I just caution on certain areas and keep moving on the wastewater. So do you have a question, Mrs. Webb?
We do have a plan to move further with the uniformity. Connection fees would be the next
okay.
area.
Good.
But there is some a plan we've discussed about, as debt is done in the assessment fees, there, you know, three R's. We still have major sewer expenses when we do upgrades. I mean, just the pump station 30 is a $13 million upgrade. So it's important that we still take, that's outside the operation and maintenance cost, that we still find a fair way to charge these. But maybe we can do, when their debt falls off, that they're still paying into something that will bring them into uniformity with the other districts.
Well, they're just sometimes neighbors. I mean, just in small geographical areas, if you could bring some fairness there first, I think that would be important. Because you could go into a subdivision and say, okay, there was, you know, it took this amount of pipe, and you could divide it equally, and then everybody pay the same. And all neighbors, all people in that same community, or it could be I don't know, you could make it, if it's just not a subdivision, it could be something else. But subdivisions are planned communities, and conditional use residential communities and stuff like that. But I know there are subdivisions within, like the Salt Pond, which is out there on Cedar Neck Road, pays under a dollar front footage charges, and people across the street are paying $5 or $6. Mm-hmm. And so there is a problem when you're in such close proximity, playing such a a vast, just, you know, variety of different charges, and a lot of people just don't understand why. So anyway, thank you. That's all.
Also, I saw a chart of sewer charges, and I was looking at the Angola Herring Creek area. Why
that,
was
that was different? That one is on there because it's temporary.
Uh-huh.
When we decided to put sewer in Angola, mm-hmm. they had failing septic
yes.
systems. So in the meanwhile, 2 to 3 years, we're contracting with a private wastewater just to get them until they can connect to Angola.
Uh-huh.
And then
okay.
that will go away, and
right.
the Angola Sewer District will be part of the Uniform Sewer Operating Fund.
So they aren't paying that much more than other people, or they are?
Angola?
They
yeah,
are. Tremendous. Like
contract
four,
with,
four times.
But it's
yeah.
just for that subdivision.
But that's just
just that one subdivision.
Just that one subdivision.
They had an, they had an emergency okay. situation, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
All right.
And then when the
all right.
when the Angola system's built, we won't be having that. They won't need that contract.
Mm-hmm.
They'll go right to Angola
okay.
Central Sewer,
right.
and that'll be done. So
okay.
It's,
okay.
It's their kind of a lone, unique situation.
All right.
I will just say our wastewater fees and everything, I think we've done a great job, and I think it's one of our probably our highlights of what county government does here, along with paramedics. But the wastewater whole operations under, with Mike Izzo and all of them, have, we got a lot of people out there, and we've I think we've done a good job, and we've kept rates reasonably, you know, fair, and we've been doing it a certain way. But just because we've been doing it a certain way, it doesn't mean we can't start making some changes.
Mm-hmm. Well, overall, engineering has done a lot more with a lot less with less money to do it with, is what I'm looking at. So congratulations.
A lot of grants.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. And they may not be out there in the future, the grants.
Yeah, that's right. You lose your grant, you might not operate quite as cheap.
Right. It's all for me.
Okay.
Mike?
I'd just like to congratulate you and the budget committee. I think you did a very, very good job. We were after a balanced budget. You brought that back. We're not spending out of reserves. That's a great thing. And the only other thing I'm concerned about, I want to make sure that George's pension is fully funded.
I'm just talking about new hires. We changed
I'll
new
make sure
hires.
You're funding.
You
funded.
Noticed I'm yeah. emphasized new.
I noticed that.
Thank
is
you.
It's an interesting statistic, I guess. About $20 million of our $46 million budget goes to public safety. Over 40% of our budget is to public safety. And a big chunk of that, of course, comes from our real estate transfer tax, which originally was set up to fund the paramedics. We ultimately shifted some of those funds into other areas of public safety over the years. And as the amount went from $35 million down to $12 million, I don't think too many people would have thought we could have continued to maintain that level of service that we did. So it's certainly quite a high wire act that you folks have been performing over the last couple of years, and you should be congratulated. But it's also interesting to note that there's about a $7 million gap between our real estate transfer tax, which is going into public safety, and the $20 million that we're spending. And we're making that up through, for instance, the surplus in the sheriff's office, mm-hmm. the surplus in the recorder of deeds office, the surplus in some of our growth departments, our land use departments. We've often said we need to allow growth and development to pay for services to keep our total taxes low. And they've done a good job of that over the years. It is a little nerve-wracking to think that the state may be looking at some of these revenue streams, whether it's recorder of deeds or register of wills, because that would really put our public safety services in jeopardy. Also, I think it's, you know, worth considering these unfunded mandates like dog control, just dropping an extra $600,000, $700,000 in our lap without really any ability on our part to object other than to make a public statement, and this steady erosion of our paramedic funding from the state. You know, we looked at some statistics earlier and said, really, that needs to go back to a 50-50 split between the state and the county if we want to be fair about it. But this is a very good budget. I congratulate all of you.
Thank you.
Anything else from the council? Okay, I guess, are you ready for it to be introduced?
Yes, we do have several ordinances for introduction. And again, the public hearing will be held at the June 22nd County Council meeting.
I'll be in Florida.
Oh.
Here's my usual gig.
That's right.
Well, there was never any contrary. It was a slam dunk. God. They all cried like babies.
Very good job. Thanks.
Here's a note. Let me read it first.
Go ahead.
No.
It's open.
It's an open letter from Joan.
Yes, open letter.
Sweet.
I get the bathroom.
I got it. Dude, go ahead.
Good job, Mrs. Both Webb.
Mr. President, would you desire that I read the short title for purposes of introduction?
Yes, sir.
It's an ordinance establishing the annual operating budget for fiscal year 2011, and an ordinance establishing annual service charges, annual assessment rates for collection and transmission and or treatment and connection charges for all Sussex County water and sewer districts.
I'll introduce that. Do you have another one, or is that it?
No, that was it.
Okay.
Oh,
it's the same today.
Request.
Okay.
Oh, sorry, I didn't hear you. I was in my own budget world. The first one, Oak Orchard, American, Riverdale American Legion. That was approving the grant.
Okay.
Approving the grant.
Mm-hmm. George, you'd like to give what, $500?
100.
100 from George?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Want to make that motion? Anybody?
So moved.
Second, Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Maybe we better get some discussion in on this. We're giving $100 to the Oak Orchard.
American Legion.
Orchard what?
Poppies.
Pop? Oh, yeah.
Already gave it to him.
Better.
It's a formality. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Milford Memorial Hospital.
What did we give last time?
$500 from Mr. Wilson's account for the hospital fare.
You gonna do it again?
Wanna give me that, Joan?
I'll chip in $250.
All right, I'll give you the other $250.
All right.
I like seeing you two work together.
Aren't we getting cozy?
She's gonna drive down back door there.
A motion and a second. $250 from Ms. Deaver and $250 from Mr. Wilson. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
And Western Sussex Boys and Girls Club.
I give $400.
I give $100.
Second.
Motion and second to give $400 from Mr. Vincent, $100 from Mr. Phillips. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Motion carried. Mr. Guy, is there anyone who wants to speak? No. Introduction of proposed ordinances.
There are none.
Additional business brought before council. Motion for Mr. Cole to recess till 1:30.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Well, take you long to get that budget through. I'm telling you right now.